As I look back, or think back, on our question-answer periods and on some of the discussions that I've had in one-to-one relationships to you, I feel that it's wise to put this kind of emphasis on our beginning here this morning. Now, so far, the emphasis that I have tried to make in these meetings is on you. But the questions that come do not refer to you. Now, I want to point out that this is a very normal, natural, usual thing, and it is a very difficult thing for a person to say, as the psalmist did in the 139th Psalm, 23rd verse. But I wish you'd pray this with me as I read it. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I don't believe this is a negative thought. I think this is a very positive thing. The way to develop your ability in anything is to eliminate your weaknesses. My basketball coach, whenever he came along, I always started dribbling off and take my favorite hook shot, and he'd always say, "Brent, let me see you dribble." Now, that was my worst, the worst part of my basketball playing. But all the coach wanted to do was help me to develop the worst part, and I always wanted to show off my best part. I'd say this is a perfectly natural kind of a thing. But we ought to be willing to focus, and we need to focus our attention on ourselves. Now, some of you have come up to me, and you want to talk about husband-wife relationships, and you want to talk about parent-child relationships, and you want to talk about single-girl relationships. And I do, too. But you can't until you're talking about individuals who can handle themselves in that relationship. Now, for instance, many mothers would come up to me and ask a question like this. They've learned somewhere that in your relationships with your children, you shouldn't be yelling at them. Approach children in a quiet voice. Well, so mothers change from saying, "Johnny, come here," to saying, "Johnny, come here." Do you get what I'm saying? They're just as hostile as the big, loud one. If you don't do that, you're going to get it. I see the volume is real good. But there's really nothing changed except it isn't as noisy as it was before. And an individual isn't going to be able to use a rule of human relations unless within him he's capable of using that rule. And so I believe the psychologist is really saying that if you're a quiet, contented, happy woman, it'll be reflected in your voice. I think that's what they're trying to say. And so how you verbalize with people, whether you're talking about approaching your husband or whether you're talking about approaching your partner or your child or whoever it is, it's not going to help you to talk about volume if the spirit behind that volume isn't there. Now, I've tried to say that as we look at an individual, or as you look at yourself, that you look at yourself in terms of what you say and how you say it to people. You look at yourself in terms of what you do and how you do it, and the inner response to what you're doing. And now today I want to talk to you And I still have the focus on you, and after today I'll get off your back and start talking about some of your relationships. But I plead that you allow the Lord to search your heart as I talk here. Now, what I want to talk about today is the feelings. Now, many Christians do the right thing. They say the right thing. Many of you are missionaries, and you've done the right thing. You're out in a tribe, and you live with a partner. Or you're out in a tribe, and you live with your family. But what are the emotional overtones of your relationship? And if we speak in terms of works, then this is a facet of your work, the kind of emotional overtones involved in your relationship. Now let me refer you to a passage in James. Now I repeat, in my working with Christian people, counseling with Christian people, I find that generally speaking, I'm talking to somebody who says the right thing and who does the right thing. Their problem is not in this area. Generally speaking, the Christian is a person who's struggling with feelings. Now, read James 3, beginning with the 13th verse. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? And I look around here and think of the questions you ask me, and I say to myself, there's some real sharp people around here. Well, what makes you smart? What makes you wise? I see so many people whose intelligence gets short-circuited when they become emotional. And they'll say some of the most amazing things, and they'll do some of the most amazing things under the spirit of emotion. Decisions that they'll make and actions that they will take part in that they regret and are so sorry about afterwards. And there's something about us when our intelligence gets short-circuited. So who is a wise man? Is it an educated man? Is it a man with a PhD? Or a THD? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, do you find yourself sizzling inside, tensing up inside, objecting inside? Oh, nobody knows it. Surely your roommate doesn't know it. One time I sat down with a couple of three single girls. They were living together on a mission field, and they took me, two of them, took me on a tour of the place. You see that stove? We were talking about the one that wasn't there. She picked it out. You see the colors on these walls? She picked it out. How do we flavor the food? The way she wants it. And what was their question? How do we keep this woman from dominating us? And I said, what have you done so far? Oh, nothing. She doesn't know how we feel. Now, these two young ladies wanted to swear me to secrecy. Promise you won't tell, will you? What we're talking about. Well, we'd like, and what do people want? Some kind of a subtle tool for me so that they can get this woman wangled around to do what they want her to do without her knowing it. Some people think that's what psychology is. How can I get the other fella to do what I want him to do and get him to have the notion that it's his idea? And this is just plain, ordinary craftiness, subtlety. And here these women were. They were filled with strife toward that woman. Did she know it? She didn't know it. Oh, she knew there was something wrong, but she didn't know what. Now, if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, it doesn't need to come out. And you know, so many Christians pride themselves on their self-control, their ability to hold in what they feel, their ability to conceal. And it seems that so many Christian people have the notion that Christianity is a matter of perfecting your acting ability. And the better you can act, the better a Christian you are. So that if you can get through a term without anybody knowing how what you're really like, you're a pretty good Christian. But it says here that if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not. Don't pride yourself in your ability to conceal. And lie not against the truth. And this is the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above. But it is earthly, sensual, devilish. And if I talk to missionaries about anything, it's talking to missionaries about this struggle that they have with their feelings one toward another. Trying to eliminate them by holding them in. Can't do it. You just can't do it, can you? You can pretend, you can act, but it says here, don't glory in your acting ability. God doesn't require you to act. And the strange thing about it, we're not seemingly not repentant about these feelings of the flesh, nor does it occur to us to appeal to God for help, but we depend upon our ability to conceal. And you're on your own. God isn't even in the act. You're on your own. And this is the sad story that I listen to all the time. And this is the kind of thing that I try to break through all the time. And it's a difficult thing to break through this barrier. And so many of you have said, how do you get in touch with God? How do I get rid of my impatience? Isn't that a strange question for you people to ask? And yet so many of you seem to feel as though this is a novel idea, as though you never heard it before. And isn't this the issue, though, in the Christian life? It's a matter of the Spirit. And our ministry is a ministry of the Spirit. And your ministry to your partner is a ministry of the Spirit. Oh, the minute you got a sliver in your finger, you drop everything to get rid of it. And yet we do not take a spirit of hostility or a spirit of strife as seriously as we would take a sliver in the finger. Or we'll allow ourselves to be filled with all kinds of fleshly feelings, and we seemingly do not relate it at all to spiritual health. As long as nobody knows, it's all right. And I want to warn you here, this is, I think, one of the gems that I'll leave with you this week. If you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth, this wisdom descendeth not from above. It's earthly and sensual and devilish. And where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Again and again, I'm invited to come into an organization because there's confusion. And there are evil works. And seemingly, we can't come out of it. We can't solve it. See what you can do. Now, whenever there's confusion, an individual comes to me. Why? The initial reason. I'm confused, Doc. Now, if this is true, then I can follow along on the assumption that where envy and strife is, there is confusion. and every evil work. So what do I need to look for? Envy and strife. And you'll find it every time. Because it's envy and strife that causes confusion. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy and good fruit. Let me tell you my story, and then you'll see why this doesn't apply to me. And again, you hear people that don't, they say this doesn't apply. You don't understand my circumstances. Let me tell you about my partner. You mean to tell me you'd be happy with my partner? And they expect me to say, well, no, I guess not. Yes, you can live peaceably with your partner. Now, some folks say it'd be so much easier if you were married. Is that so? See, then you have the physical relationship, the sexual relationship. Listen, my friend, that's a complication. This is one of the greatest burdens that married people have to bear. And I listen to the struggles that people have over this physical relationship. And you say, but you have a family and you had a child. And I want to say to you that this is still more complicated. And so some of you are saying, hey, you've never been a single woman. Well, that's true. But I've listened to many stories. And I believe, and I'm convinced, and I've helped some single women to work out their problems. But there's not much difference between the relationship between any two people who have to live together. And when you have two people who have to live together, whether they're a married man and a married woman, or whether they're two single people, or whether they're people who have to share a job, you're confronted, everyone, with the same basic problem. I want to have my own way. And he or she wants to have her own way. And this clash goes on and on and on and on. And it's a clash of wills. And this is not a matter of marriage. It isn't a matter of living together in jungles. It isn't a matter of altitude or humidity or heat or bugs. Because after all, we're trying to tell the nationals that sit around us that they can live together peaceably, aren't we? But you see, they're nationals and we are Americans. What difference does that make? If the gospel that you're wanting to translate, and if you say that this good news is so good that you're going out to that tribe to give them the word, then surely it ought to apply to you. If it'll apply to them. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that for us to face up to the feelings within us that the Word of God says are not of Him is a very rare thing for us to do. It's Jesus who said, this is the condemnation. Now, we often apply this verse to unsaved, but the more I listen to the stories of Christians, I really believe that it's got a broader message than to unsaved people. This is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. And you will not come to the light, lest your deeds be reproved. What happens to you, for instance, when someone comes up to say, you know, I have a criticism of you. What do you say? Good. Let's hear it. Do you? Tell me more. I want to know everything that you have against me. Tell me more. I want to know. How many of you feel that way about it? That's not the normal approach to a problem. The normal approach is, I don't want to know. Lay off me. Leave me alone. Or let me explain why. Tell you, there's a spirit of openness and repentance is rare. Jesus said, ye are they who justify yourselves before men. Isn't that so? And you know, to face up to these truths about us before you are ready to work out a wholesome, happy, united, like-minded relationship between you and any other one person, you're going to have to come to grips with yourself. Realizing that from within you there is a wellspring that enables you to speak and to act and to feel as you ought. And then you'll be ready to sit down and talk about working out a relationship. Or we can write constitutions, but constitutions do not direct behavior. We can supervise, and you can force a person to walk down a certain line, but you can't make him want to. And I can put enough pressure on you so that you'll do what I want you to do for years. But I can't stop you from being inwardly rebellious against what I have asked you to do. And there are people who will bear a grudge till they die. People walking around with an unforgiving spirit. Oh, I know you got mistreated. Yes, you got a dirty deal. Yet Jesus said that unless you forgive your brother, I will not forgive you. And many of us walk around with a heavy burden simply because we won't lay it down. And one of the simple approach to God is coming to Him with an empty hand. My heart is what it is. I can't do a thing about it. Knowing that He will help us. But really, when you come right down to it, you find so many people who do not really believe that they need help from God, especially when it comes to dealing with your feelings. You're quite capable of handling your own. And I'm pleading here for the realization of a sense of helplessness. Many of us still think that if we can manipulate our environment out here, if only you could change that wife of yours, if only you could change your position, if only you could change something out there, then you'd be your old sweet self. And it's so common for a Christian to feel that I'm really nice. And I would be sweet if other people or circumstances were right. Now, you search your heart. I trust that I've been talking to you, not your roommate, not your wife, not your husband, but you. Because I do want to move on to talk about our relationships with other people, but I am so sure that a man who is not what he ought to be within his own soul, I'm sure that that man couldn't use the rules if he had them. Because underlying a wholesome relationship with another man is approaching that man with the wisdom that is from above, which is first pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And only then will you get the whole story out on the table so that you can blend your life with someone else's. Well, I trust that I have stimulated questions which we'll be taking up this afternoon. May I say, I have a few of these books, Building a Christian Home. I only have 9 of them, but you're welcome to purchase them that have some of these thoughts in them. Shall we pray? Father, I pray that you would guide us this week. We need thy wisdom from above in these business meetings. And in these sessions that I am responsible for, that we may approach these matters with the wisdom that is from above. And Lord, I would pray that you would help each of us to appropriate that which we need. I would pray that you have answered the prayer of these people. Search me. Try me. See if there be any wicked ways in me.